Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. I pray that you had a blessed Easter. Our prayer here at the Seed is that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., and we worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. And if you can't join us in person at 9 a.m., you can join our live stream. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. If you miss all those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, and it's the Seed Christian Fellowship. We want you to grow in grace. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Well, we just celebrated the greatest day in history last week. Jesus rose from the dead. The tomb is empty. Death has been defeated. On Easter Sunday, we looked at some of the first words of Jesus after his resurrection. We know that the last words people speak can be tremendously important. In our journey to Pentecost coming up, I would like to look at the encounters of our risen Christ, which he had with many of the followers. I'd like for us to hear the resurrection words Jesus spoke. To be honest with you, I honestly believe that we all need to let these words sink deep into our hearts in this time of chaos and crisis and economic struggles and health struggles and wars. We need to hold on to our resurrection hope. The tomb is empty. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Well, on a lighter side, at a business meeting, the directors of a cemetery were discussing at some length the price of lots in their cemetery. The chairman, wishing to bring the thoughts together, summed things up with one of those statements that need to be taken the way they are meant, not the way they are said. Quote, he said, "We should have two prices, one for those local and another rate for those from out of town. The people from out of town never come back to maintain the grounds." Well, that's supposed to be funny. But Jesus was not only from out of town, but he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Jesus was out of this world and came back to discuss living a resurrection life with many. The Bible says he appeared to over 500 people after his resurrection. Are you in the story? Put yourself in the story and put the story in you. Today, take a walk with Jesus. We're on the road to Emmaus. Emmaus is a town. The Emmaus Road story is one of the most famous and familiar stories that Dr. Luke tells. Today, we meet two disciples who are making their way home from the Passover festival. This is the same day that Jesus rose from the tomb. These two disciples were followers of Jesus. They were heartsick, heartbroken, depressed, and confused, and they were walking on their way back home, 7 miles away. Us, a 7 mile away would be, well, where I live, we have a Corky's restaurant about up on the 210 on the west side, or just past the 210-15 interchange on the east side. That is where we would be walking if we were in this story today. Let me ask a couple questions. Have you ever been heartsick before? Have you ever been heartbroken before? Have you ever been depressed before? Have you ever been confused before? Just think of what this past year has done to so many. Because of the crisis and the chaos, many of us become depressed and discouraged, fearful and frustrated, anxious and even angry, well, and even downright downcast. Before we turn to God's Word, let us come to the throne of God's grace and receive God's most marvelous grace upon grace. Let us pray. Lord God, God of all grace and wonder, we ask that our hearts would be strangely warmed and our eyes would be open to see your call of love upon each of us, a call that bears your depth and clarity Give us our own Emmaus Road experience as we study your living word today.
Amen.
Well, are you ready? Find a place to belong in this story. Luke 24, 13 to 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem, and do you not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "Well, about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us what they had seen, a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But Jesus, they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had told you." Wow, he said. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it was nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When it was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. 26 times in Luke's gospel and 8 times in the book of Acts, the phrase, "I do," which means, "and behold," it is used. 26 times, 26 times Luke uses this statement, "and behold." It's a phrase Dr. Luke likes to use to enter something, to introduce something new or unexpected. Kind of like surprise, holy cow, oh my gosh, look here, news flash. He just says, "and behold." Will you believe this? Well, last week we celebrated the most unexpected event in all of history. The tomb is empty. In the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 24, we hear that the women went to the tomb early in the morning and were met by two angels glowing like lightning. The angel said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Luke 24, 5 and 8. The women remembered Jesus' words and ran off to tell the disciples the news that Jesus had risen from the dead. The disciples did not believe the women. What they were saying was nonsense to them. But something, the women said, must have rung a bell with Peter because he got up and went to the tomb. He found the tomb empty, just as the women had told him. Peter walked away, wondering what all this could possibly mean. Talk about being heartsick, heartbroken, depressed, and confused. Jesus' disciples were all of that and more. Our detailed Dr. Luke then writes, "I edu," and behold, and look, and see. Something new and unexpected has just happened. Newsflash, Jesus' empty tomb is certainly I-E-D-U. Holy cow. Newsflash, behold. Our good friend Dr. Luke now introduces us to two disciples, one named Cleopas and one that is not named. Scholars have debated about who these two disciples are. Some scholars say that Cleopas is a follower of Jesus and the unnamed other disciple is none other than Dr. Luke. Some have said that Cleopas is the Cleopas mentioned by the Gospel of John in John 19:25, when we are told that Mary's sister was the wife of Cleopas and her name was Mary. Also, if this is the case, then these two disciples were, they were Jesus' aunt and uncle, headed home to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Whoever they were, these two had been in Jerusalem for the Passover festival. They were followers of Jesus. They were there when Jesus entered the town riding on a donkey. They were there with all the people shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." They could have been amongst the crowd that started shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." We are also told in the scriptures that Mary, the wife of Cleopas, was at the cross with Jesus' mother and others. Mary, the wife of Cleopas, was with her sister, the mother of Jesus, at Jesus' crucifixion. Are you in the story? Can you enter the story? These two disciples loved Jesus with all their hearts. They were in Jerusalem for the Passover. They were not expecting what had happened. The person they loved, Jesus, had been crucified, and they were heartsick. They were heartbroken. They were depressed. And they are confused. And they are beginning their long 7-mile walk back home. Wow, can you identify with being heartbroken, depressed, confused, defeated, downcast? Wow. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. If you have any prayer concerns, we would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the icon for prayer, write it, and we'll pray for you. Or you can just email me directly at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. I'll respond. Love to hear from you, hear what you think about the messages, hear what your prayer concerns are. If you need a Bible, we have a man in the church giving out Bibles. Just email me and we'll get you a 1-year Bible and a scripture reference book. Can you identify with being heartbroken, depressed, or defeated, or confused, or disappointed, or downcast? Luke tells us that they were walking along. They were discussing the events of the past week. The Greek word for discussing is syzeto, which is a present tense verb. This means that they were discussing and discussing and discussing over and over and over again all the things that had happened. They were on a roller coaster of grief and confusion, going up and down and all around and around with the life and death of Jesus Christ. As they were walking and talking, Jesus walked up behind them and asked them, "What are you talking about?" They did not recognize Jesus. The original Greek tells us that they were kept from recognizing him. Why? We really don't know. Commentary suggests it was because they were looking into the sun and the shadows prevented them from recognizing Jesus. Perhaps they were so overcome with grief, their hearts so broken that in the midst of their grief and confusion, they could not see who it was that was standing right in front of them. They simply did not recognize Jesus. If you're taking notes, write this one down. It's really important. Jesus finds us in our confusion. Jesus finds us when our hearts are broken. Jesus finds us when we're overwhelmed with grief. Jesus wants to enter into our story, right where we are, no matter where we are. So, have you ever been heartsick before? Have you ever been heartbroken before? Have you ever been depressed before? Have you ever been confused before? I'm praying that our eyes will be open and that our hearts will be strangely warmed as we recognize Jesus as he walks into our lives. When Jesus comes alongside these two travelers, he asks them, "What are they discussing?" We are told that they stood still with their faces downcast. In other words, they were stopped dead in their tracks. Do you find it ironic that they are stopped dead in their tracks, totally halted, and there is a dead man walking right in front of them, and they don't recognize him? Cleopas says, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? The word downcast means that they were sad or sullen or depressed or melancholy. Can you enter into the picture here? These two are stopped and they're overwhelmed with grief. Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem, and don't you know the things that have happened there in these days? And then Jesus does what he often does. Jesus responded to their question with a simple question. What things? Even in Jesus' resurrection, I think he has a sense of humor. What things? Many times when I am asked a question, I often respond with a question or two of my own. I usually say, well, what do you think? How does that make you feel? What do you think God is saying to you? To be honest with you, many times on our Wednesday night Bible study group, I'm laughed at and made great fun of when I answer a question with a question. But I must confess, I have a really good teacher who often answers a question with a question of his own. Jesus, the dead man, is now walking on the road to Emmaus, maybe with his Aunt Mary and Uncle Cleopas. Jesus asks them, what things? I'm sure these two people are beside themselves. They have just witnessed Palm Sunday, Passover, and the horrible crucifixion of Jesus. Now there is a random guy walking alongside of them who does not have a clue about the horrible things that had just happened. First point of today is Jesus finds us in our confusion. The second point is Jesus will bring clarity to our confusion. After Jesus said what things, the two disciples poured their hearts out to Jesus. Listen again, about Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. And we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early today, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him, Jesus, they did not see. Now remember that these two disciples said they had heard the report of the women of the tomb. Maybe the unnamed disciple was one of the women who went to the tomb earlier that morning. Angels speaking words of life, the tomb is empty and they still have hope. Wow, they head home confused, discouraged, and even defeated. Can you identify? I am sure I can. It has been quite a year of death and dying for me. And I get these two stories. Jesus said to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter in glory? Luke chapter 24, verses 25 and 26. I want to put a side note here. The word redeem that the two travelers used appears only here in all of the four Gospels. Lutroo. It is a Greek word with a strong Old Testament background that means bought back. The two disciples were saying, we thought Jesus was the new Moses who was going to set us free, buy us back from the Romans. It's been a difficult time, as I've mentioned. Some of you struggle with health. Some of you struggle in relationships. Some of you struggle with physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, sexual issues. I want you to hear this. Jesus will find us in our confusion. Jesus will begin to bring clarity to us among our confusion. Wow. Confusion, clarity, comfort. What grief, discouragement, and confusion they would have been spared if they had only known and believed God's word to begin with. This truth holds true for us too. If only we believe. How often do we find ourselves hurting, confused, and despairing, and do not find scripture that speaks to our condition? Listen, friends, it's not because the Bible has failed us, but because we do not go to it and know it well enough. Listen again to verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself. Put yourself in the story. The incarnate Word of God begins to teach the living Word of God to his friends. The greatest teacher of all begins to teach the greatest story of all. simply put this way, that Jesus, this is what Jesus does. Jesus makes the scriptures come alive. Jesus tells us where we can find true hope and comfort. It's like this, holding up my Bible. Here is what this means. Here is where you will find hope. Here is where you'll find comfort. Here is all the clarity you will ever need. Here is everything you need to know. The three of them, Jesus, Cleopas, and the unnamed disciple, are now entering the village of Emmaus, and Jesus acts like he's going on. Just a side note, as I sit and write this message, I think that some of the people are left unnamed because they represent you or me. We can place ourselves in the story. The two disciples invite Jesus into their home. They break bread. Jesus gives thanks, and right there, their eyes are opened, and they recognize Jesus. Another interesting note, the host of the house would be the person that normally offered up the prayer and broke the bread. Yet we're told that Jesus did this. Jesus disappears. The two disciples ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And at once they got up from the table and walked back 7 miles to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and told them, it is true, it is true, the Lord is risen. So what? Let's wrap this up. John Wesley found his Emmaus Road in London on May 24, 1738. In the evening, he tells us in his journal, I went very unwillingly to the society on Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ. I felt my heart strangely warm. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. It was William Holland's reading of Luther's commentary on Paul's epistle. John Wesley heard the voice of the living Christ and found in it his salvation. Wesley went on to bring revival to England in the 1700s and started the Methodist Church. Well, in 2015, an F4 tornado with winds of 200 miles an hour hit my hometown in Rochelle, Illinois. I remember that night when I was heartsick and heartbroken to hear the devastation the tornado caused. My heart was heavy and burdened with grief. I remember that day after the tornado, a good friend called. We raised our children with them, went on vacation with them. Their family was our family and vice versa. We knew on the night of the tornado that their niece's home had been destroyed by the tornado. The next morning, our friend called to tell my wife a story. What a great story it was. Her niece and her husband had three small children, 5, 3, and 5 months. When the sirens went off, they hurried down to the southwest corner of the basement. Looking out the basement window, they saw their wooden swing set blow away like toothpicks and disappear. Her niece held all three of the children with her. Husband formed a human shield of protection over them, spread eagle like a cross. In less than a minute, their house and everything they owned was gone. The first floor had collapsed into the basement, missing them by several inches. Her niece had cried out, "We're going to die." Across the street, another young family had sought shelter from the tornado in their own basement. It went on. It was like, wow, the equipment, everything was gone. So here's your so what. Someone took the laptop to a tech, and he was carefully removed from it and stored photos and documents. Everything was gone but that. Well, I want you to know, Jesus meets us in our confusion. Jesus brings clarity in our lives, and Jesus brings comfort into us, even all through the living, abiding Word of God. Let us pray. Lord God, you make all things new. No matter where we find ourselves today, Jesus wants to enter into our confusion. Jesus wants to bring clarity to our heart, soul, and mind. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.